You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Monday's episode of the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. I am your host, Craig Fowler, and I am joined by Tony Anderson. Tony, how are you feeling on this day, Monday, 25th of March?
Well, I see that I got the memo that we were wearing yellow today for a start. I feel like I should have quickly went and got changed when I logged on. But it's, the old 2-day hangover's back after binging my brains away on Saturday after Stennis Moor. I had a wonderful time. I mean, the game was could have got football stopped, but the setup was good. The trip was good. It was lovely seeing everyone and that wee bar downstairs. That's a good idea. I like that.
Yeah, Tim, as you, I very much enjoyed it. I liked the setup, the wee bar, nice and cozy, like decent prices. A good time was had by all at the Terrace Hospitality Day Out, but too good a time, really. I think it has to be said. Because I'm the same as you, 2-day hangover, yeah, and certainly don't feel ill today, like don't feel queasy or anything, like eating fine, but just feel like I have very little energy.
I am an old man, is the case.
Yes. So
like that not drinking for a month there, I think I'll do that more often.
So we did plan ahead for this, and perhaps I could have planned it a bit better. So I was like, right, what can we do for Monday? Like, there's no Premiership fixtures. Monday's typically a Premiership show. What can we do for Monday? Now, obviously, the Scotland game was on Friday night, but I kind of thought, well, with the Scotland game being on Friday, I mean, by the time we get to Monday evening, post it up, that's kind of a long time between Friday and now.
For a friendly especially. Fucking
hell. That was also my thinking as well. It's a friendly. I never give a toss about friendlies. I never watch friendlies. I didn't watch this one. I had another night out on Friday, a birthday party. I was at briefly. I wasn't there very long, but I was there for the time that the game was on, and it was in a pub where there were no TVs. So there was no way of me even keeping a close eye on the game. So I kind of thought, well, there's no point in that. And then it was actually ended up being quite an interesting game. So maybe I should have just scheduled the Scotland show for the main pod, but instead that was done as a Patreon by Amy Canavan and Graham Thulis. They spoke at length about Scotland, about Billy Gilmore, about Lauren Shankland, and about numerous other things to do with the international team after that defeat, but good performance for 70 minutes in Holland. So if you'd like to listen to that, it is patreon.com/terracepodcast. So instead for this show, we are returning to something we did earlier in the season, and it was something I think we'd done it for the first time when myself and Graham Thulis done it. And the plan was always to return it at some stage later in the campaign, because when we done it, it was kind of around about October, November time. I thought, right, may as well go back, later in the campaign and have another big kind of temperature check on every club in the Scottish top flight, and to do so using our Premiership Panic Scale. So that is a scale, a ranking of 1 to 5. If the club is very happy about how things are going, if the supporters are just completely at ease, they are content, they are excited with the way their team is going, then they are chilled out, man. If not, it is a sliding scale from it's fine, things are fine, things are fine, to not sure about this, we're in real danger, or what the fuck is happening? So we'll go through each club, myself and Tony will debate and discuss where they are on the scale, and let's just do as we always do, let's just go alphabetical order. Ooh. Aberdeen, Tony, what would you have for Aberdeen on the panic scale?
So they've actually got two wins on the trot, but I think they might be in danger where the fans might be thinking maybe things are going to be fine, because they'll be thinking, they'll start be looking ahead to next season, you know, they'll be like, oh, we'll just write this season off, we've got the win, and I think they would have been feeling for a while that getting the win is all they needed, but they've got Ross County next. It could go to capital letters what the fuck is happening very, very soon, and for them, I still would be worried. I think the momentum breaking at that time when they got the two wins could be really bad for them. And just Simon Murray up against that defence, who are quite immobile as it is, and the victories they've had, they've still been very nervy. I mean, against Motherwell, I mean, we needed Kyle Roos to remember who he was, and he managed to sort of stop the rot for Aberdeen there. They looked so nervous at points, and those defenders, if they're feeling nervy and not worried the ball, then like Simon Murray's like the worst person you can play against if you're not really sure of yourself, because he will force you to make actions. You know, you're not just going to just be, you're never just going to be left alone. So I reckon for Aberdeen, they don't know who their manager's going to be. I think the fans will be basking in it a bit and they'll think they're fine, but really, they're in real danger, man.
County beating Hearts as well still means that they're very much in it. St Johnstone being that buffer is a big help, and St Johnstone did win at Aberdeen recently, but otherwise they've looked very poor in recent months. That kind of initial burst that they had under Alec Cleland as the interim manager and then Craig Levein taking over has really dissipated. They don't look like they've got any better in the January window. So Aberdeen have got two clubs below them, but it's thinking, right, okay, this has been a season from hell, but let's look forward. But there's still just enough there for them to be quite concerned, and the fact that they still don't have a manager, which is wild to say at this point in time. You thought, well, surely when you hired Warnock, you were already starting this process. And then even since Warnock's left, that's now 9 days, I think we're right. Is that right? 9 days since then? Oh, no, actually, more than that. Sorry, 16 days.
Because it's
16 days is where it went, and they still don't have a manager. So I'm swithering in between a 3 and 4 on this. Let me still land at 4. If they had a new manager, I think there'd be a 2 or a 3. But without a new manager, still 3 points off 11th. Because the fans are still thinking, what the fuck is happening? But that's just in regards to
the club.
The club in general. Whereas the kind of team on the park, I think they're right. I think they will fancy themselves to get out. So I would say a 4. I'd place them at.
Cool.
Right. Let's move on to Celtic.
That'd be Celtic, yes. Right to you. Well, they're sitting pretty at the... Well, I think pretty is the last thing they are, but they're sitting at the top of the league at the moment. But I still think they'll not be very sure of themselves as fans. Obviously, they hate their board. They have done for forever. So, and obviously they've got a pretty unique relationship with their manager. It's quite an unusual one. Normally, a manager who would come back a second time, you wouldn't think it would work. But you think he'd be popular with the fact that you would go back to the well with a manager, but that isn't really the case with Brendan Rodgers. They do have players to come back. Hatate's going back soon, and McGregor's going back soon. So for the first time in a while, we could be getting the much loved midfield, and possibly what I would say is the strongest area of any team in the league. Like nobody has any other area that could even come near it. And it's probably one of the strongest midfields I can think of probably in the last decade. It's got so much balance. It's so nice. So they've got them to come back. So they'll start to think that maybe the they can pull away from Rangers soon, and they've got that Old Firm, but I still think they're in a title race. They're not, the funny thing is that Celtic aren't really used to being in title races. I know that sounds daft, but they're normally streaking ahead, or they didn't have Rangers around in the last sort of 10, 11 years. So yeah, I still think they'll be a three. I think they'll be pretty worried. And then obviously the fact that Rangers can win a treble, that could easily come at their expense, will be a big worry.
Yeah, I think they've got to be concerned. But there is, I think you're right in pointing to the return of some players. I think the last we heard about McGregor was that he was only supposed to be out a couple of games. So that would suggest that he will be back soon. I'm just kind of looking at other stories to see if, like you say, like, yeah, what was the recent one for Rodgers? Yeah, unlikely he'll be back before the international break. So now the international break's over, you would think that McGregor's going to come back for that. Hatate is due back very soon, and that's going to give them a boost. And from what I've seen from Celtic fans online, is that has made them a bit more positive about things. And you have to also look at the fact as well that Rangers have now got their injury problems themselves. They just seem to have every single one of their wingers, mm-hmm. or players who could play wide in their typical 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1, whatever you want to call it, seem to be out. Like, and that's an issue. That's an issue for Rangers. So it's kind of swung quite a bit recently. And I would say that Celtic fans are a bit more optimistic now. They're not going to say things are fine, because they're still, even though they're top of the league, if they lose, like if Rangers win their game in hand, Rangers are back top, and that's not going to make Celtic fans very happy. They're not quite on the verge of lax. They're somewhere between a 3 and a 4 for me. What would you have them down as?
I put them as a 3. Because they'll have one more Old Firm, they'll have another Old Firm game, and even when Clement has been the manager, Celtics did still win that Old Firm game. That when his manager was like the only sort of blot on Clement's copybook. So they'll probably still think that they've got enough to do it. And they have not just the return of the midfield, but you've got the return to form of Kyogo, possibly. That last game, I know me and you spoke about it, they'll be feeling a bit better, because it was stalwarts of the Postecoglou era that came forth in that game. It was Kyogo looked like he was being used in his correct manner and looked much more at home. And Greg Taylor had a really, really good game in the left back role. He looked like he had a lot more freedom than maybe what he's had in recent games. So that the fans might be feeling a bit better, seeing that obviously the manager's finally maybe coming to grips with what he's got at his disposal to use. So yeah, so they've got a lot more to look forward to. I mean, wouldn't it be long ago they'd be like, what the fuck is happening? And things were just collapsing all around them. So they've managed to arrest that, and they're getting their best players back, and some of their stalwarts are really hitting form. So we'll not be sure about it, but I still think maybe a bit more quietly than usual that they might still fancy themselves to pull this all off and get away with it, if you like.
Yeah, I know. I'm happy with them as a 3 as well. Right, let's go to Dundee. They're a funny one. Like,
hardest one to place, I thought.
Sorry?
It's the hardest one to place, I thought.
It depends. Because I think having done so well in the top flight and really kind of looked at top six as something very attainable, then Dundee might be a bit kind of funny about the way that recent results have been. They got the draw against Killy. They recently beat Aberdeen, sorry, in the last game. Do you know what? Even though I think they're going to finish outside the top six, I think Dundee fans are one. I think they're fine. I think they're chilled out about everything. I think the club is chilled out in general. There's obviously off-field stuff with Camper down that's a bit. I'm going to hopefully later this week talk to Gary Cocker and a patron about kind of get exactly what's happening with Dundee Stadium as games continue to get mystifyingly called off for Dedge Park due to the problems there. But if you look at the club, like, yeah, they would want to finish in the top six. Maybe unhappy that it seems like it might not happen if you look at the run-ins of both them and Hibs. But they are going to finish well above the relegation places. They're very likely going to finish in seventh in the Scottish Premiership table. You gave Dundee fans that option at the beginning of the campaign. They've been a bit in your hand off for it. So I think they're a one.
They've got.
I think they are chilled out.
Yeah, because they still have the chance, the top six. And I still think it's possible that like St Mirren could fall out of the top six with their running, and with Dundee having a game in hand as well going into this. So there's room for Dundee, but I think you also have to respect, like, just quickly how much a manager has managed to get his message across. They've done so well. They've been one of the easiest teams on the eye, which will be exciting for them, because you know that, because then you know you've got building blocks, you've got something to but there's no point in getting yourself hung up on things like top and bottom six when you've made so much progress so quickly under a manager. You should be getting excited really about what's to come. And if you're getting Gary on about the stadium, it'd be interesting to see when he's on a show and he has to sort of put across what he actually thinks rather than his WhatsApp persona, where it's just to act like everything's always great about everything about Dundee. So I'm definitely going to listen to that to see what he actually thinks about the possible move to, what is it, Campervan?
Campervan. Campervan.
So, yeah, but they've been great. And, yeah, so I don't think they have to be over the moon, actually, Dundee, considering where they've been for what feels like the last, when was the last time they were anywhere near this? Was it under Paul Hartley? And that seems like fucking ages ago if they were anywhere near this sort of level.
Yeah, no, it would have been. Yeah, the first season under Hartley in the top flight, they finished sixth, I believe. Yeah, I'm sure they got into the top six. And that, similar to this one, that was their first campaign back in the top flight after relegation. And yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, it's just...
They can easily pick up 7 to 9 points out of their last four games. Really quite easily. And that could be enough. Like Simran or Hibs, they could beat that. But I was waiting for a Dundee as well. Like, Hibs kind of flexed their muscles in January as well. So you can't feel that bad, that team that was able to bring in, granted it was loan deals and stuff, but they were able to bring in quality. They were able to do something that they couldn't do. And this is what that kind of what happens at that stage of the season because of your good form. Teams get their hand, the bigger clubs get their hands forced.
Right, let's move to the first of our Edinburgh clubs, and that is Hearts. And yeah, Hearts have only won one league game out of the last four, but that also included a win in the Scottish Cup in that time against Greenock Morton, which pushes them into the semi-finals against Rangers. I don't think there'd be any doubt whatsoever that if Hearts had won last weekend against Ross County, this would be a one. And it's saying like they're just completely chilled. I still think it is that. I don't think there's really any major problems going into Saturday's game against Killy. Would you be like, no, I think things are fine. Things are fine. I don't think there's any real cracking at the seams. If they lose to Killy at the weekend, then yeah, we can start to maybe push Hearts to a two. But I think Hearts have to be a one. There's just no panic at this point in time. Of course, with it being Hearts, that could change very, very quickly and the real reactionary nature of the fan base. But for now, things are fine. No, sorry, things are chill.
They've got, and also, like, I think fans will be feeling good seeing the club sort of putting things together for next season. It seems like Hearts are just causing their place in the league. And what looks like, clearly, they've been able to get to grips with things really quick, early. And now they're bringing in, they've already brought in three players who, depending on who you listen to, is either unambitious or really smart to get them set up for next season for an assault. But I would think it's probably the former. I don't think these are the only players Hearts are going to sign, which some people seem to be acting like it is. Then, so, yeah, I think they can't be anything but chill. And I think the draw perform was always inevitably going to happen. Otherwise, teams like Hearts would win the league with form like that, if that was to go on indefinitely. And plus, once things start to... Players always talk about that it doesn't affect them. But we talk about, like, you're talking about friendlies for the Scotland national team. It does. And once things start to become really, really close, you've nearly sorted it, you're in a sort of no man's land almost, I think you might get a really good performance out of Hearts this Saturday coming, simply because it's a game where it feels like you can really solidify it and feel like, right, oh, people are maybe tall, can go 8 points. Right, go out there, make that happen. And that might be like the last good game Hearts play this season. I really wouldn't be surprised to see if Hearts didn't win a game in the top six or something like that towards the end of the season. I really could see that coming to fruition. And that's because, like, the fans, the players are chilled out, man.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, It's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, right. Let's move on to Hibs. What have you got for your beloved Hibbies?
Hibs haven't lost in the league in six games since the St Mirren game at Easter Road, where sort of the new players came off the bench and played their first game, and it was a 3-0 defeat. Since then, Hibs have only really been beaten off the Old Firm and maybe outside of the game at Pittodrie, where I think you could have argued that Aberdeen maybe deserved to win. I'd say Hibs pretty much deserve to win every single game that they've played in, and the form be much better, and it's relatively entertaining. And there's guys like Mark Hondes and Melida. They haven't just given Hibs a fighting chance and maybe getting a scrap in a European place or whatever. It's also just made it enjoyable for people to go along at a stage of the season where people were really running it. I'll speak for myself, running out of patience with the manager. It was like just this endless world of drawing 2-2, but that still happens sometimes. But at least there's always something to watch, and there's heroes, and it gives the fans what they hope is a bit of an insight into what the future is going to be with whatever the newfound wealth or what their ability to go in and get different types of players. I mean, we're not getting to that argument now. I don't think there's time for that. But just that they can see maybe what could happen. And I think that's exciting for a lot of the fans. And with the run-in, I think fans will be looking at top six a possibility, and they could scrap Europe. And what thing that always makes me laugh is that I've got a funny feeling Hibs are just going to finish fifth. And I always think that's funny that you go through a whole season from Johnson to last season, everything that happens over the whole course, and it just remains exactly the same. And this happens a lot in football. I think you're like so much. It's like a shit TV series where something like Prison Break used to do this a lot for any Prison Break fans out there. Something huge would happen, and then like a double episode, it would all loop back around, and they just end up back in the same place they were originally. I think the fans will be. I still think they would be a three. They would be not sure about this because obviously finishing bottom six is really, really bad. And then we'd have then it becomes this really, really shit bit that you've got two, like, sort of the best players you've probably had in a really long time, and they're just going to play in, like, a fucking run of dumb dead rollers towards the end of the season. It's just so boring.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to let you take the lead on this. I thought Hibs was another one that was a bit tricky to place, but, I mean, they were at four or five kind of levels of panic earlier on, but they're somewhere in the middle. There's tentative kind of hope that there's hope that things are going to get better in the future, as you said, because as you said, with the investment, and they're showing that the real quality can come in the door. There's some signings that there are question marks over, but in general, it's been positive from January forward, and you've seen that with the upturn results. And also, Nick Montgomery has proved that he's not a complete fanny. And that's what you want as well. And whether he's going to be around or not for the past the summer is another interesting wrinkle. But Hibs fans also not entirely fussed about that either, and are hoping that if he does go and the Bill Foley investment means that they're going to change manager, then it'll be someone kind of the level of improvement in what they've seen in the team, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because like watching the team has been really, really good. It's become quite good. And the style of play, Montgomery, this has been the biggest problem. Is he very much felt like he's been learning on the job, and it's some stubbornness, a bit which isn't, when I look back, probably isn't that unusual to find, because he's a guy who came off the back of winning a league, so he's going to really have quite a lot of faith in what he's thinking when because he's got the proof. For him, he'll be thinking, no, I know this works, but the stubbornness eventually has went away, and he's moved away from shape, but he was had to look after that, but still naive at points. What happened in the Ross County game was really annoying. there's some things that he's just not learning, like maybe he should take you in off at stage. I mean, we had that conversation. So there's lots and lots of things that he still has to learn. Substitutions are still can sometimes not be great. But with better players, his results have definitely improved. And Hibs are quite good to watch. But still, I mean, they should have had a lot more points through the last little period, even with all the wins. So that still leaves a concern. And that still leaves a concern for him because he really needs 5-6 straight wins rather than just undefeated. But yeah, it's hopefully it won't just peter out to be in the most boring mess and at least can get a run to try and get fifth spot so I can go on a trip. And that's what's important.
Well, that's for you and a lot of fans. That is important. Right, Kilmarnock. So I think if you were going to ask us this at midway, Christ, my brain's not working. Yeah, midway during their match between St Mirren, Jesus Christ, Craig, come on, English words. Right, at halftime during their match with St Mirren when they were 2-0 down off the back of the Scottish Cup exit to Aberdeen, you might have heard them going, okay, what's happening now? Is this, you know, once very promising season starting to come off the wheels starting to come off it a little bit? But then they have that incredible turnaround. They're back 2 points ahead of Kilmarnock ahead of St Mirren in fourth place. And that is the insurance that means that they will get to be guaranteed European football regardless of who wins the Scottish Cup, because fifth will probably do it, as you were just saying with Hibs. But obviously, if Hearts win, it would still...
Because Hearts Aberdeen won, so it's fine.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, this is a very roundabout saying that I think that... So when myself and Graham did this before in, like I say, October, November time, it was only one team that had only a 1 out of 5 on the panic scale. And I'm going to put forward that there should now be a third team in the 6 that we've already done, because I think Killy should be and are fairly chilled out at this point in time.
Yeah, definitely. And not just that, I'd be quite excited about what they've done in January as well. And it's not just, I know Ken Vivian, it doesn't look like it's really going to work out or whatever. I mean, but just the fact that they were willing to do that and they've also just built like a real depth of squad, and that wasn't the case. It feels like Derek McInnes had to sort of earn trust at Killy over time, and they've sort of done it slowly but surely. Like, it seemed like they were doing enough, so we'll have enough to get out the championship. And then they had like loads of players that were still on longer deals at the time, so they used them to get to just stay in the top flight. And then it was suddenly McInnes was giving his guys for doing his scouting, and the people that he uses for that he used to use him when he was at Aberdeen, which showed another layer of faith. And Derek McInnes, I think he signed a new contract as well. And then he's been able to build a much stronger squad now. It looks one of the deepest in the league. So if I was them, I'd be excited that obviously the club are willing to loosen the purse strings for the right person and give McInnes the opportunity that maybe there's building blocks that this can go further. This can be more the norm. And McInnes, with what he'd done at Aberdeen, you would think, I know he's got ambitions for the Scotland job, but you would think McInnes may end up just staying at Kilmarnock for 5-6 years, just like at Aberdeen. So there seems like loads of stability that with the club now, and there seems to be a lot of faith. And his celebrations at St Mirren with the ball boy and stuff, that's just another layer. I know like the fans really into that. That was like one of those moments that people love. Could see a manager who's thought it was quite dour, mm-hmm, lose the run of himself a bit. And that's good in the best way possible. And everyone are like Del Cam, all that stuff. That kind of stuff builds unity between the fans and builds like relationships. And it all seems very settled at Kilmarnock just now. And there seems to be a lot of evidence that just might continue. And even if they do have like a bang average season next season, you could see them coming again. And if everyone's on the same page and everyone's got a lot of faith in each other, then great, for good for them.
Right, let's move on to Livingston. So Livingston are bottom of the table. They're heading out of the Scottish Premiership. They have off-field problems when it comes to finances and when it comes to kind of ongoing legal battle, some of which has been cleared up, but there's still a little bit more to fully be concluded. So you would think you would maybe say a 5 for this, but Livy...
They've surely come to terms with it all.
Aye, that's the point. Aye. Livy were at DEFCON stage early in the season, but now they're kind of like, well, we're headed out of the league. As long as we survive as a club, it's going to be fine. David Martindale having gone from looking like he was going to leave, he desperately wanted to leave, but it seemed like he kept kind of having constantly talked about that he wanted to remain as Livingston manager, or he was going to remain as Livingston manager because Livingston gave him this chance in life and he was always going to repay them and he was happy because he had stability, he had the backing at Livingston and you don't get that elsewhere, blah, blah, blah. Then he spent so long basically kind of like batting his eyelids at any club that would have him, but nobody seems to want to take the jump and to take him on. So now he's reverted back to, oh, Livingston gave me this chance. It would be them, like, it wouldn't be me walking away kind of thing. So I think that they've got, if things can settle down off the field, they could have some stability where I don't think next season they're going to immediately stop the rot of this campaign, get their act together and come back up. But if they do show up, if Martindale and the club or slash the club have the patience to like, right, let's start it again, let's build it up like we did before, I think the future could be relatively decent for Livingston in the short term. And I really, really wouldn't rule it out that they would somehow make it back to the Scottish Premiership at some point within the next 5 years or so. So I would say that Livy are somewhere around about a 3 or a 4. What do you have for this?
I'm totally with you on that, and I think we spoke about that before, but there is still the, because they've got the financial and because they might drop out of the league, I still think there's a, it could really go one of two ways. With Livingston, it can go the way you're saying, that everyone stays the faith, Martindale stays around, and even if he's got a budget cut, again, at that level, the championship, you can still see him getting polishing turds all over the place and suddenly everything being, and getting players to really do it for him. That's what he's built his career on. It really is a manager. So, but there is the point where it could all spiral. I still think that is a possibility. So I'd still be a bit worried if I'm a Livingston fan, because the worst case scenario is like almost going out of business or like becoming like a League One, just a League One club. Not there's anything wrong with that. Please don't. Even though only Premiership fans is this, so we can just call it what is shit. So there is that worry that it could either go out of business stuff or just become like just another club, and all this will become a distant memory in the future. And just it, with a stadium that size, you always just feel like the upkeep so much more for them if they're not in a stadium, like if they're not in the top flight. And they could do what sort of what's happened to Aki's. So I don't know. I still think it would be I'd still be going for a 4. We're in real danger, because that real danger can mean more than just next season. It can mean a lot of things for Livingston.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, 4 is fair enough. Right, let's move on to Motherwell. Motherwell, who are in 8th place in the table. They lost their last game against Aberdeen. Probably the better side for a lot of that. At the very least, deserved the draw out of the game, and were winners of the previous two before then, including a victory at Ibrox. So, yeah, Motherwell, I would say, considering how bad it looked at points this season, and you thought, like, okay, this Kettlewell needs sacked, are they actually heading for proper relegation bother? There is the stuff around the finances off the field with them kind of really looking for investment, but in the latest reports, because they made a loss, significant loss the year before, but in the recent reports, things were a lot more stable. They don't have to take this investment, especially if it means if their Welsh society are going to kind of lose their kind of hold over the club. So I think they're generally all right. I think they would. I would kind of put them as a... They're still not great, and they're still kind of... The club is trending in the wrong direction, so I'd put them at about a 3, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree, and it's been a tough old season for them, and they're still in bother. I mean, they're only 5 points off the playoffs, and obviously, like what I think the way that they're playing, what, St Mirren at the weekend, and obviously Ross County are playing Aberdeen, so there's a chance that they could be sucked right into it. I mean, you know what I mean? Ross County could be on the same points as them by the end of it. So like they're in that position now where, I mean, a win or two, and that just means that the season peters out, and kind of that's probably what they want now. And they got their little moment in the sun with winning at Ibrox, and Kettlewell seems to have ridden out the issues. And I think now that, like, he seems relatively safe as manager, if they do that, and then they've got, at least they've got a bit of stability going into next season to make another assault on it. But again, the problem for Motherwell fans now is that, and Graham talks about this as well, is that with what happened to Hibs, Hearts, Rangers, even Dundee United, like over these period, there's always been like a slot for Motherwell, sort of like at the top table really regularly, second, thirds, top sixes regularly. That's changing, I feel. That's changing a lot. And obviously with Hibs, Hearts and Aberdeen spend a lot of money now, relatively speaking. And it doesn't mean they can't fuck up. Two of them did this season already, but just it feels like there's less room at the table. I mean, there's less room at that top table. So it's like for them, a lot, for some of them, maybe the younger fans, coming to terms with who Motherwell are might be quite a tough pill to swallow for a lot of them, that maybe there's only going to be one truly exciting season every 5 to 7 years, you know, where like, wow, what's happening? This is great. And maybe getting to some to latter cup stages. So I think there's maybe, and obviously they want to be fan owned. They seem like a club that's not sure of themselves, maybe, because it's a club that it doesn't really know what its place is and who it wants to be at the moment, and that can be difficult to comprehend. But yeah, they're still definitely at least a three, man, because they're in relegation bother. They are.
Yeah, let's just have a quick look. Right, so 5 points. County are starting to show signs of life again with them and Aberdeen. It's just about the fact that, right, do you really fancy yourselves to finish below both St Johnson and Ross County? I think Motherwell and their supporters would be quite confident that's not going to happen. And also, they've got that bounce back that they were properly panicking earlier in the season. So I think they're fine. I'm sticking with a three.
Okay, cool.
Right, Rangers. Consider where they were earlier in the season and what they've come back to. Like, they're not shy off a one, but I'm going to put them as the first team. We don't have anybody yet for a 2 out of 5, which is, things are fine. We're fine. Things are fine. I think that may be Rangers right now, because if they win their game in hand, they do go top. However, they lost their last league game. They're now out of Europe. They have a mounting injury problem at one particular position, which is an issue. And with Celtic having their players back, I don't think they can be overly confident and be like, yeah, this is, we're completely chilled out. And also, I don't know if you can be completely chilled out when you're in a title race and we're coming up to the last few games of the season.
Yeah, and they've got, maybe going out of Europe is going to be a blessing in disguise for Rangers, really. And people were even questioning if, I knew people that were talking to me asking if they would rest players, like Hibs fans, same with the rest players in the Benfica game, because what they're doing. And I was always like, no, I just, club like Rangers, too much prestige, that level of playing, and also that they care a lot about money, because they have to. And getting through these rounds gets you loads, comparably speaking, to really anything that you can do in Scottish football. So these things do matter to them and to the people who run it. But yeah, I still think they'll be fine. But like you say, they're going for a title and they've got a mountain injury list. And the team, Celtic, the spiral seems to have stopped and they've got the bodies coming back. So they feel like they're ready for a turbo end to the season, Celtic. Well, Rangers may be looking slightly opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll be in. Like, even like I watched them obviously against Hibs, and that was with their injured players. And yeah, they got out with a 2-0, but that didn't tell the whole story. And they got 1-0 up with a relatively soft penalty, but they in the second half it was they sort of reverted in, and they were like, Hibs could easily have scored, you know, like that game that was winning the balance. So games won't become so easy for Rangers as they have recently, and that's when you drop. And then right now for Rangers or Celtic, drawing a game's a disaster at this point, so that could easily happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, I think I think we're pretty much in agreement on that one. Let's move on to Ross County. So Ross County, again, kind of similar. I don't think we're going to get any team that's going to have a 5 out of 5 here. I just think that those who were most likely to be it, kind of like everybody panic, everybody starts screaming, everybody starts running around on fire. Like they've had bounce back, Aberdeen have bounced back, and now County in the last two games have got 4 points and have shown some signs of life and got to be looking at St Johnson and thinking, we could definitely catch them, we could leap above them and we could stay in the Premiership and don't even need to have some mental comeback in the playoff final this time. We could just rest easy as the season comes to its conclusion. But at the same time, they're in 11th place at the moment in time. You can't go any higher up the list or lower, however you want to put it, than a four, I would say.
They've got one. They've only been defeated once in the last five. And that was it. That was at Easter Road. And they've got... It's like... They still haven't said that Don Cowie's the manager to the end of the season, eh?
But Cowie do this. They never ever release, like... They often, like, announce players and don't say how long their contract is.
Yeah, they just love ambiguity. Fair enough. Mysterious. Sexy Ross County. Go keep you on the edge. Because I mean, Don Cowie's done all right because he's really pissing with a crap cock at Ross County, because sometimes you watch them and you're just like, oh, fuck, there's absolutely nothing in this team. That, like, when I was watching the Hibs game, the two Hibs games, because they were back-to-back Ross County pretty much, that they played Hibs in a quirk of the fixture list, because maybe a game got called off or something. So we were playing them twice in a matter of days. And just so bland, man. There's just nothing. You're like, what's going to be good about this team? But then they still managed to get the point out of the Hibs game. And then against Hearts, they looked a lot better than what they did against Hibs. And with a striker with 16 goals under his belt, he looks like he's got, what, 9 league goals? You can easily see with the form he's hitting now, because Murray is a form player. He normally scores in bundles. And if he's kicking into that now, really good part of the season, you can easily see him finishing with like 13 or 14 now. And that could be enough to easily get them points. But it's just about, there's still a lot of who knows at them. There's just what's going to happen with Ross County. No manager. Obviously, players like Dander are going to be leaving. Murray will be a year older. Is Roy going to be putting his hand in his pocket again? Or is this now how it is for Ross County, what we're seeing every single season now? Because eventually that'll catch up on you and you'll go down. They've already got away with it once. I'm with you. I think they'll get away with it again. But yeah, there's no way it cannot be a four.
Right, we'll finish on talking about the Saints clubs after this break. And the penultimate team to discuss is, of course, St Johnstone. And Tony, I would say this is potentially the team that's closest to a 5 out of 5 on the panic scale. But I'm not quite sure we're there. At least not yet.
Yeah, I think they'll be panicking like fuck if they're St Johnstone fans. I think we are there. So when you look at the table, they're what, 1 point off the playoffs. They've had a really bad run of form as well. They really struggle to score goals. I think for a lot of people outside looking in, I would say they're favourites for the playoffs.
Yeah, actually, that's a fair point, considering what you brought up earlier about Ross County and their recent form and the fact they've only lost one in their five games. That's better form than St Johnstone have had of late, even with that win away to Aberdeen. It feels like they already played the hand a while ago and getting out rid of Steve McLean, bringing in Craig Levein. The club are, it seems, in the process of being sold. But how long's that going to last? I imagine maybe new owners coming in. Don't really know anything about them at this point in time. If they've got money, then it may be a case of, oh, okay, we don't like this current manager. He doesn't seem to have made this team any better. So let's get rid of him and let's pay him off. Let's pay off the 3-year contract that he got dished out to go with the 3-year contract that Steve McLean got as well. And they're probably still, well, maybe I'd imagine Callum Gavinson was probably on gardening leave before he took the Queen's Park job, but who knows, I might still be paying him as well. So
Steve McLean, like, that was his first ever job as well, so there's no guarantees that he's ever going to get back in. They could be paying that contract forever for the full 3 years. You know, there's no guarantee that Steve McLean's, because he's not going to take a lower league job that pays him fuck all money when he can just sit on his arse and take that money. So he could easily just sit and play that out.
I think there is still a bit of faith amongst the fans that they will generally just pick up enough points under Levein that football, it's not good to watch, but they'll just manage to like draw their way to safety, basically, like pick up an occasional kind of 1-0. They might not be expecting it happening. A kind of performance comes out of nowhere, or not even necessarily a performance, just a good defensive display, and they manage to get a victory. But you're right, County are starting to show signs of life now under Don Cowie, looking better than they had at the very least since Derek Adams' first couple of games before he decided to set fire to everything. So yeah, I think you've actually maybe talked me into him. Let's go St. Johnstone. Let's go somebody. Let's put somebody in the five section. So let's say St. Johnstone. Right now, their levels of panic are at what the fuck is happening levels. And finally, St. Mirren. So when we did this, myself again, we've done it before. St. Mirren were the only team that were in section one that were chilled out. You could argue they're there this time around. However, I would say just with the kind of general form, since they had that incredible start to the season where some people, including myself, were backing them to finish in third place, it hasn't been quite as lived up to that. They've had decent periods since then, and you kind of thought that they were having another decent period recently. But that second half collapse against Killy, and not so long ago there was Robinson arguing with the fans away at Livingston, it just doesn't feel quite as harmonious as it once did. And well, St Mirren, who famously never made the top six until last season, are now making it for a second year in a row, and that's very likely to happen. You said they do have some tough fixtures, so it's not out with the realms of possibility that they do manage to drop out. But at this point in time, you wouldn't fancy that to happen, so you think that should be good enough. But we all know what happens. As soon as a club gets to a stage, like gets to a level and then solidifies themselves there, it's very much a case of fans going, now what?
Now next.
Give me something new. And something new for St Mirren wouldn't be like sixth, which is what they're seeming to be heading towards at this point in time with their kind of general form over the last 4 or 5 months.
They've got, yeah, because if they can manage to hold on and get fifth and they get European football, then that's them taking another step and giving their fans something new to enjoy. I mean, I mentioned earlier, I mean, it's literally all I'm bothered about in terms of for my season. And I imagine they'll be quite similar, but yeah, I still think they'll be a two, because I do think at their darker times, they will look at that fixture list and with Hibs and Dundee and think a collapse could happen, and it has happened before. They have scars from previous collapses, so they will definitely, they'll be slightly opened at this point. So I think they'll be a tinge of worry.
Yeah.
Especially after a 5-goal collapse in 18 minutes. They're the kind of things that start a collapse. So I think it is possible. And I've got a weird feeling it might happen, eh? I've got a weird feeling that Dundee and Hibs might both make the top six.
That'd be quite something. That's one of those ones where you'd see, you'd have to really weigh up like the argument, but that's one where you would definitely see fans, St Mirren fans, calling for Robinson's head. And then it's like, well, is that fair? Because it's probably not fair, because if at the start of the season, you know, to say St Mirren finished seventh, then that wouldn't be looked upon as that bad, especially considering they finished sixth last year, lost some key players last summer. He's done well to get them to the position they're in, but again, it's always very much a recency bias thing. If they have a late season collapse and don't make the top six, then there's going to be some knives out anyway. How sharp those knives are and how plentiful they are is another story, but there will be some there.
Because I just think Dundee could pick up 6 or 7 points in those 4 games. Dundee will need to be pretty much perfect. And that's probably the thing that might hold them off, but it could easily see St Mirren losing at Fir Park, getting beat off Hearts, and then losing at Rangers. I mean, that you wouldn't be... You'd be surprised if we were sitting with 1 point from those games.
Yeah, I'd draw a home of Hearts. And
yeah, like, I mean, you really could see that coming to fruition. And then, so maybe their goal difference, they've got a 9-goal difference, better goal difference than Dundee. So that might be the thing that could stave off Dundee as well. Or Hibs, whatever. But there you go.
Right, Tony, that'll do us. Thank you very much for joining me.
Oh, Craig, my pleasure.
Thank you to everybody for listening, and we shall be back with our typically scheduled programme next Monday, where we look at the Scottish Premiership weekend. We've already kind of teased a lot of the stuff that's going to be happening in that fixture list, so please join us for that. In the meantime, if you would like to hear more, then head over to patreon.com/terracepodcast, where you will find hours upon hours of bonus podcasting that you can unlock all of it for as much as £5 per month. If you only want to unlock some of it, there's even that option as well on the £2 per month tier. And also, please, please, we're asking all our fans to do this. Please add to our burgeoning army on YouTube. We have been doing YouTube shows of pretty much every single show we've done on this feed. We do occasional shows as well where they are kind of a share between being like being on YouTube and the audio being on Patreon. So if you don't have the means to sign up to the Patreon, if you've already got too many subscriptions already and you can't possibly add another, but you do want some extra content, then you can find it on youtube.com/terracepodcast. And I think that's everything. Tony, say goodbye.
Oh, bye-bye.
I'm Craig Fowler, saying goodbye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.